on Open Mic Friday, Law and Gospel, on this February the 24th in the year of our Lord 2017. This gives you an opportunity to phone in if you're in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And you can even phone in from California. Now, why would I be mentioning that right now? That's because we have a special guest in the studio, Chris Ann Brunsman from Los Angeles. She's visiting her mother here. Used to be a member of my church, now is in Los Angeles, is an actor. I always like saying actress, but she doesn't like that. I've talked about One Hit from Home, which you can... In fact, it's on Netflix now, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes. And it's what I consider one of the best Lutheran movies, and she had a lot to do to make it that way. You know, on Tuesday, we bring in Mark Smith. Wednesday, we bring in Wes Reimnitz. And so we just continue to go downhill with Chris Ann here. Oh, excuse me. She was at the Bible study last night at Trinity Orchard Farm, and we had about 60 verses to look at, and we only got to two of them. In fact, we wouldn't have gotten to the second one had you not spoken up.
It's true.
Yes, and you were angry at me because we weren't getting through the lessons.
It's correct.
But you had a lot of questions. So if you want to talk to somebody from California, one of the things that really became clear to me last night is there's just a lot of different questions of people on that West Coast than I get in the Midwest. It's not that the questions are less important. They're just as important. But I asked her to come on board in case you have a question that you would like to ask her. She is not only a Lutheran, but she does very good work there as best as she's able to in evangelism and telling people about Jesus. But a lot of times it appears that it's kind of difficult there, right?
It's very difficult. As it is everywhere.
Yes. There just seems to be, though, a different kind of philosophy on the West Coast. I know even Christians in churches tend to be more liberal, too.
That's correct.
Yes, and it's very difficult to find a good church. Although I just really enjoyed that time when you invited me down there and we talked with the writer of the movie, the actors, and this sort of thing. Are you going to be doing another one?
Yes.
Oh.
Of course.
Okay. Well,
when
you're ready, give me a ring.
No problem.
And as I said, numbers here are 821-0850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question for Chris Ann, we'd sure like to hear it. We got somebody on the line already, and I just have to see the name up there, and we'll be getting to them. Okay, I think we're ready. Let's... hi, you're on the air. Hello? Okay.
We lost him.
No, we didn't lose him. Let's see. Maybe they haven't been moved over yet. Okay, and it's Rick. Rick, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes. This is Herman.
Herman. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest in California, does she see a entrenched hostility to Christianity moving into state and local government areas in terms of legislation and other things, and how is this affecting the climate of evangelism in California?
Hi, Herman. That was a great question. So, you know, I think it just depends on what part of town that you're in. I'm definitely in the middle of everything in L.A., and L.A. actually has a great Christian community. There's a lot of Christian people. However, you're surrounded by a lot of people who aren't. And so I think that the movement in Los Angeles is to continue to love people, which is what we're called to do. But as far as politics and how that all comes into play, it just depends. It just depends on what part of town you're in and who you're actually speaking to. But the majority of the West Coast is very liberal. So there isn't a lot of unrest. In the beginning, people were, you know, you'd be in a coffee shop when Donald Trump first got nominated and people were talking about it out loud. And then the tweets and all that started happening. And then people were kind of embarrassed to talk about him. But you still had a lot of people in the West Coast who were more conservative. So there's definitely a conservative movement there. There's a lot of Christian people there. There's a lot of secret Christian people who are in the movie business that don't like to talk about it. But for the most part, if you start talking about conservatism on the political side, people shut you down and they look at you differently and think there's something wrong with you. If you talk about church or something, then they just look at you and go, okay, well, that's what you believe. That's interesting. And some people just think there's something wrong with you, you know, if they're completely an unbeliever.
So essentially, there is a exercise of religious freedom on the personal, practical level.
Yeah,
and the only thing against that would be the counter-prevailing social attitudes.
That's correct.
But it's not legalized as such.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, Thank you very much, Herman. Anybody else can call us. The numbers here are 8210850, 1-800-730-2727. That's an important point you made, Chris Sam, because in the Midwest, when I talk about being a pastor and talk to a lot of individuals, I'll be in a hospital with one of my members and I'll talk next to the next bed who is not a member. They don't think I'm dumb because I'm a Christian. I don't get that reaction here. And so, how do you approach somebody in California because of that kind of an attitude?
I think that, I mean, the way that I am, my
yes.
personality, I just continue to live the best life that I can, and I just continue to love people. And when they say, why do you do that? And I say, whoa, or why? How did you respond in the way that you did?
Yes.
And I said, because that's what God calls us to do, or that's I point to a verse, and they go, oh. And they don't really understand it.
Right.
And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm not really very good at it because I'm human. But most of the time, I pretty much have a good way to respond to things. And
It seems to me, particularly in the area which you're involved in, works and effort make a big difference in how you move up the ladder in that. Like the movie, like you'll get maybe a new movie if you're very good at what you did with the previous movie, this sort of thing.
No, it's really just about money.
Oh, just how so?
Yeah. If you have money or you have people who will fund something.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's never really about performance, unfortunately.
How did we ever get that movie out then? Because we didn't have any money.
I raised a lot of money for that movie.
Yes, I know you did.
Yeah.
No, I've seen Chris Ann in action, especially she was backing me up a lot of times when I would be sharing with her friends about the message of law and gospel. And I think it had an impact because they did change a bit of the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, we changed a lot of the movie based on what Pastor Tom had taught them.
You know, the Apostle Paul makes a big note in Galatians 3, I don't know if I've talked about you. That's my favorite chapter for knowing law and gospel. It says, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. And it shows that we're not saved by the law at all, but by through faith in Jesus Christ. And the point I'm trying to make here is that whether you're in the Midwest or the West Coast, East Coast, people look at their lives and they feel that they fail a lot of times because they're either not good enough or know the right people or this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Christianity is just the very opposite, where it's not who we know, it's instead who knows us, namely Jesus.
Yeah, I got that. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have listeners here, and so nodding your head to me doesn't work on radio. But we're going to go right back.
Is someone on? Because I wanted to speak to that, but let's take the call.
Okay, we'll take the call first. And how you doing, Mike? What can we do for you? How you doing?
Good. I have a question, really, that either one of you wants to answer it. You know, you were talking about the transfiguration this week, you know?
Yes.
Well, you know, in the vision, they saw Moses and Elijah. Well, isn't the purpose why Moses and Elijah was in the vision? Because That's the way Jesus Christ saw the Hebrew Bible. He divided into the prophets and, I'll do it this way. He first divided into the law and then the prophets, and that's why they were in the vision.
Very good point, Mike, because the law was Moses. The prophets, of course, were the rest. There's another division, and I'm not sure Jesus, it's the law, the prophets, and the writings.
Right, but I don't know if he used that.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't either, but that's a really good point, and I appreciate that very much, Mike. Thank you so much for calling, and anybody else can call us at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. And now, Chrisanne, share what was on your mind there.
I like what you said. However, I just want you to apply that to someone's life. So if they're going through challenges work-wise or personal-wise, and they say, you know, even in the Bible study last night, you were talking about people who were gay or struggling with that side of their life. And you were saying, like the singer on Britain's Got Talent,
yes.
He was so amazing. You could just tell he was so broken and struggling
right.
when he was singing that song. How do you personally, I want the audience to hear the answer. How do you personally point people to the Bible if you come to someone who's broken and they don't have access to you? They can't go to your Bible study because they live in the middle of Kentucky or whatever. You know, where do you say, here's Jesus, he's for you. It doesn't matter if things are going bad in your life. It doesn't matter if you have a spouse or a significant other or you're struggling with transgender or whatever it might be. You have God for you. God's with you the time. So how do you fill that space so that you're not lonely or you're confused or you're seeking? Where do you tell them to go? Because if you just open the Bible, it gets rather confusing. And then people go, oh, wow, well, he just like cut out his eye. And like, that doesn't make sense. So,
right.
So, you know, what can they read? Where can they start? You know, what's that?
It's kind of interesting. Like? My approach with someone like that.
Which is most of America,
yes,
by the way.
Yes. If they think you think that you're better than them, they're going to turn you off. So one of the first things I do by using the law, I put myself in the same category as they are. Depending on the particular situation that they're struggling with, I try and leave the impression I'm not any better person than they are from God's point of view. And then I might use something in my own life that is difficult for me to get through, etc. And at that point, then I say, you know, apart from Jesus, I don't think I ever would have got through that. And a lot of times they'll say, well, what do you mean by that? And what I've discovered is the statement of the gospel is what the Holy Spirit uses in order to bring somebody around to a right understanding and even to create faith in them. I rarely, like, for example, if there was somebody who doesn't agree with infant baptism, I do not use verses from the Bible to prove infant baptism, even though there's a lot of them, because I believe they have a wrong view of God. Every false teaching is a wrong view of God. So in my discussion with them, I put myself in their place that I'm not any better than you are. Paul said he was the worst sinner of all. And then I share with them how God has helped me, and I specifically speak the words of the gospel. Remember, the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, was converted entirely just by hearing from Jesus, I'm the one you are persecuting. Mm-hmm. And how the Holy Spirit used that, I don't know. We find so many times in the Bible that Jesus just says something, and the Holy Spirit uses that. We had two Pharisees, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who came to faith in him by just hearing his word. There's no way I can convince anyone to become a Christian by reason. I don't use that. I use the word of God, but I first use the law to say, you know, I'm with you in your struggles, and then I move to the gospel, and I let the Holy Spirit, therefore, make the moves. A lot of times, they don't understand the gospel, which gives me more of an opportunity to share it even better.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, I find people feel that God doesn't love them. And in their experience, the way they get people to love them is they're really kind to them. And so they're under the delusion that if I do God's works, if I pray to him, then God will begin to love me and maybe help me out. And that is such a false notion. And I try and share with them, you know, I feel that way sometimes too, but that is totally the opposite of what Christianity teaches. And I let the Holy Spirit take over. How do you do it?
My Instagram account. I'm just joking.
Your Instagram account.
I post a lot of verses.
I think it's time to go back to the phone lines.
Beverly and Steve. Can we put them on at the same time?
No.
Okay.
Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Baker.
Good morning.
Kudos to being able to relate Christianity to the movie industry. I'm in a little different audience. I drive a school bus, and I find myself, first of all, at the end of the day, feeling, wow, I could have done better.
Oh.
And I think, generally speaking, maybe even in all of public education, we all feel I could have done better, or I wish I had done that differently, especially Christians. We don't seem to know how to do that. Like, you know how to do it in the movies, but I don't seem to know how to do that in my world. And I have opportunities every day in response to a situation.
Yes. Do you think if you could learn how to do that, you would be a better Christian?
No.
Very good.
I am Christian because God made me the Christian.
That's right.
I have no credit for that.
So he's saying, how can he react with these kids on a daily basis to help them?
I'm going
to
Well, the point I want to make, your confession is actually one of repentance there, that you feel that you're not really doing what you could have done, which is the mark of the Christian. And the more you think on that, the more experience you have, I think you can think of times where you have improved over some situations because of the experience you've had, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. He continues to help us through those situations, but what he's looking for is a recognition on our part that by ourselves, we always think we could have done better.
Right. So how can he help these kids when they get on the bus and they leave every single day? What can he say to them?
I hate talking generalities. Give me an example where you thought you could have done better.
Well, I have certain children that daily disrupt the distraction of driving
by their
actions. And a lot of times I have to move them closer to me, and I wish I could leave them where they are and change their
behavior.
Let them see that I forgive them first and then go forward. I don't want to punish them the next day when I've already forgiven them. But it seems like the situation always requires us to punish them the next day after we have investigated what they did the previous day. I mean, so it always seems like we're like a day behind or a week behind or whatever.
Yeah, forgiveness really doesn't have anything to do in the temporal world with the consequences of your disobedience. What it means is that when you forgive the child who does whatever he or she does on the bus, you're indicating that you're not going to get even with them. You're not going to hurt them or something. But proper discipline is necessary because they have their old Adam in there. So you can personally forgive them, but they still need to have the consequences. And I don't know if you've got a principal that's pretty good at this. One of the things I would do, and Chris Ann was showing me this today, I would videotape what's going on the bus. Right, Chris?
Yeah, while he's driving. Great idea.
No. You have a phone. You put it up on the binder. Is that legal for you to videotape?
No, not.
No. I've seen buses where they have.
The education system has their own.
Own camera.
Own method. Own cameras, own methods.
Right? Oh, well, as long as there's a camera.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what I would do, like if it was dealing with a parochial school, I would call the student in with their parent and show them the video.
Yeah. And in the parochial world, okay, where you rule things, you can do that.
You can't do that in the public school area?
In the secular world, no. No, the secular world, you kind of do as you're told.
Right.
Yeah, I understand, but why aren't they telling you to help out the child in ways that would work?
Well, they too are in favor of helping the child.
Yes.
He is disciplining them. He's just saying, how can I add that small touch of godly wisdom without anyone knowing that's what I'm really doing?
That's probably true, Chrisanne. It really is.
Like, can he say,
I know my methodology.
Can he say, like, too, a verse to the kids that no one will know? He's saying a verse that's really a godly verse, you know, like, yeah, don't return evil for evil, always return evil with good, without them knowing, you know.
Yeah, see, I'm unaware. I'm much more familiar with parochial school, how far I can go in talking to them. But if you gave them a Bible verse, there's a good chance they tell their parents to go to the school, right, and you'd be fired.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, leading by example, probably.
But
right,
that would not be a bad thing to be fired for. Okay.
Yeah, I really fool around a lot with
I'm just saying, that's why I give her kudos for being able to do that in that industry.
Thank you.
And I hope that someday, not maybe it won't be in my lifetime, but our industry will be able to do like similar things. It has to start someplace.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. And I just feel
so
bad
just
that...
I'm really bringing an awareness. There are Christians out there every day.
Right.
Struggling to do the same thing that she's been able to do.
Yes.
Prayerfully.
Well, I continue to work on it.
Sure.
I'm not an Oscar winner yet. If anybody knows Mark Burnett out there, tell him about me.
Yeah, what I regret about your phone call is Chrisanne gave a better answer than I did. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for calling,
okay,
Steve.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to try and get one more in.
Hi, this is actually Steve.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Bill. That was Bill that
no
called.
Problem.
Yeah, that's right. Bill was the bus driver. Steve, and how can Chrisanne help you?
Well, first of all, to Bill, hey, just keep showing them love even after they get punished, and God will shine through you, buddy.
Good point.
That's excellent.
And for Chrisanne, I love her sense of humor, especially with you. She gives you trouble back. I love it. And
yeah, I feel like I'm with my wife.
Sounds like you guys have known each other a while, but I have never seen Chrisanne, but I hear from a good source she's quite beautiful. I wondered how that affected and what she does. And what's the name of the movie also, and then how does it, her looks affect what she does Christianity-wise in Hollywood?
The name of the movie is One Hit from Home, and you can get it on, what did I just mention?
Amazon. You get it on Amazon.
Yeah, but what?
Netflix.
Netflix. It's on Netflix. It is really good.
Good.
And they think you're beautiful. Obviously, we're on radio, so.
Oh, stop.
Okay, how does that affect?
Thank you for the question. Well, first of all, I appreciate those compliments, even though you've never seen me. I'm cute with makeup. But in L.A., you know, there's a pretty girl in every corner. So, you know, as far as the movie business, it's a really hard profession. And yeah, everyone wants you to look 20 forever. So it's not the easiest thing to accomplish. You know, it's really just about focusing on the work and really working on your craft and just really getting into characters and really believing in what you're doing and your mission and not thinking about all that other stuff. That's kind of the goal. You know, to answer your question, here in the rest of the country, it's very different. But in California and New York, you know, a lot of it's based on how you look and a lot of it's based on your talent and a lot of it's based on mostly who you know. So, you know, it's a mix of those things. And so you just pray a lot and you focus on the things that you really want. And then you go after that in the best way that you can.
And since there's a pretty girl on every corner, it doesn't really help you in the Christian world either because you're just another pretty face, I guess. Huh?
Yes and no. I think that, you know, when we first did One Hit from Home, we were one of the first Christian movies, you know, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now that whole arena has just exploded and you have a lot of people who are secular who are getting into the movies and things like that, which I think is great because then they're hearing the message. You know, but the competition has increased and you really just have to write your own stuff And it's like anything else. You just have to network and meet people and get funded and believe in your story and find good stories. You know, there's so many great Christian movies, but there's so many that just aren't written well. People have great intentions, but they can't get the message of Christ out. And it turns out to be like a cheesy message or something. It's not a compelling movie. And so I think that's always the goal, is tell the truth of the story, but have it in a compelling way. You know, I hear Pastor Tom talk about, you were talking yesterday about the police, all the different investigative stories and things that you like to watch on TV, and how there aren't a lot of moral, you know, but people don't want to watch that, because when you're watching characters on TV, you're watching real life, you know, and so real life is about people who aren't moral. So then when they're not moral, what is the message? And I think that's the part that's missing from a lot of those shows.
Yes.
Is what is the message after you find out they're, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, sleeping together or whatever?
Well, I have good news for me. We're at the end of the program.
No!
Yes.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm sorry. We really are. The music is going to start. If you want to see Chris Sand, just Google One Hit From Home, and there's a preview of the movie, and she's on there. Monday, we're going to be looking at The Temptations of Jesus. Unfortunately, Chris Sand is flying back to California Sunday. Mm-hmm. So hopefully she'll be back again, and we'll be glad to bring her on. I'm
Honored
Tom
to
Baker.
Be on. Thank you.
Yes, it was great to have you on, and it's probably going to be the biggest rating we had this week. Okay. Thank you, Chris Ann.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.